You know what a husband is? You know what a father is? He's a point man. You are the shepherd of your family. That's what the word husband means. It's one who cares for. It's one who shepherds. It's one who takes care of. You are the point man.
Steve Farrar has always been a warrior, straight up, a truth teller.
He was a man's man, but he was incredibly humble.
He had so much gravitas.
Speaking to over 50,000 men at a Promise Keepers event.
Authored over 20 books.
He's our point man. Steve Farrar is the point man.
Welcome to Sundays with Steve, a podcast designed to equip men with timeless scriptural wisdom. Today, Steve begins a new series titled Point Man, based on his signature book by that title. In this talk, Steve lays out the calling upon every man to lead and protect his family in a world that has completely lost its bearings.
This week, I was thinking about a guy who was the best athlete in our high school class. Tremendous baseball player. Major colleges all over the country after him. The guy had tremendous power. His power was unbelievable. He got a full ride, went to Stanford. He had a great time at Stanford. Not playing baseball, because he didn't last long at Stanford. You know what happens, you know the drill. You get into college, and what do? You start partying. You got a great opportunity, the whole thing's covered, but man, you're away from home, and your folks aren't telling you what time to come in, and he just kind of went crazy and partied, and his grades just dropped, and then they threw him out. And it was at the height of the Vietnam War, and within a couple of months, he was snatched up and on his way to Vietnam. I remember getting a call from a friend who said that Bob was at Oakland Naval Hospital, and we lived in the Bay Area. I said, really, what happened? And he said, well, he's in pretty bad shape. So I went over to see him, and it had been months since he had been wounded. I walked in, he was coherent. He was actually pretty calm and pretty engaging. And I said, so Bob, what happened? And he said, well, Steve, it was my first day there. And what happened was I stepped on a landmine. And all the guys around me, because that landmine, the way it was constructed, it goes out. The guys around me, they were all killed. I said, it's amazing you survived, isn't it? He goes, amazing. And then he threw back the covers off his bed. And all he had on were boxers. And the only thing I can tell you, it looked like he had zippers all over his body. Zippers. A zipper here, and then this arm, same thing. His chest, three zippers. It's where they went in to get shrapnel. Legs, back of his legs, back. He was going to walk again. Baseball was over. But we just sat there for about, I don't know, 45 minutes, for an hour and talked. And he said, you know, Steve, honestly, there was a wire. He said, I've been over this 100 times. He said, I never saw it. I thought I was paying attention, but I tripped that wire. I called my buddy Stu Weber, who was a Green Beret in Vietnam and counterintelligence, and I said, hey, Stu, walk me through being on patrol in Vietnam. First thing he said was phosphorus grenades. I'll never forget the phosphorus grenades, Steve. I said, really? He goes, yeah. I mean, right now I can almost feel it on my nostrils. And then he just started walking me through what it was like to be on the point. See, a point man is the guy who's chosen on a particular day to lead some men. Sometimes it's behind enemy-occupied territory. Sometimes it's just a reconnaissance mission, whatever it might be. But the skill and the leadership acumen of that guy on point is critical to the men behind him. He said, yeah, you know, your eyes had to be everywhere, and your senses had to be absolutely on hyperdrive. You know there are snipers, and they're camouflaged. But you can't always be out here, because you'll never see the tripwire down here.
Don't you just feel the tension from that description? Some of you guys walk the point. You know full well.
A number of years ago, I wrote a book called Point Man. The subtitle of the book was How a Man Can Lead a Family.
You know what a husband is? You know what a father is? He's a point man. You are the shepherd of your family. That's what the word husband means. It's one who cares for. It's one who shepherds. It's one who takes care of. You are the point man.
If I were writing that book today, I would change the subtitle from How a Man Can Lead a Family to How a Man Can Lead a Family in a Hostile Culture. Because from where we were 30 years ago and where we are now, everything has changed. Where we were 10 years ago, where we were 5 years ago, everything has changed. And not for the better, for the worse. America has always been a place of religious liberty and freedom. But if you're a Christ follower, and it's clear that you are, you're going to get some heat and you're going to get some flack. If you take a stand on a principle, you might be called a hater. Just simply because you're following Christ. That's never happened before in this country. If you think marriage is between a man and a woman, there's something wrong with you. You're not normal. You're a problem. Yet for thousands and thousands of years, in every culture on the face of the earth, there's only been one definition of marriage. It's between a man and a woman, period. But no longer. And if you don't agree to any kind of marriage, you're going to get some hostility. Gender. Gender's a pretty simple concept. And now people's lives are being broken and shattered and destroyed left and right by confusion over gender. This is where we are. In 1959, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, got up before his congregation and said, "We are living in days of exceptional evil." At 1959. From our perspective, 1959 were the golden years. 59 was Father Knows Best. 1959 was Bonanza. It was Little Joe and Hoss and Adam riding horses around Lake Tahoe. I mean, the free speech movement hadn't even started in 59. Oh, and by the way, that movement, the free speech movement, Mario Savio, which started at Berkeley. Those same people that were behind that are the ones who are now attempting to suppress religious liberty. I love the names they come up with. So innocuous, so innocent. Free speech movement, really. Planned Parenthood, really. I don't need to delineate for you how evil is increasing. You see it every day. Back when I did Point Man, I made the statement that when a man gets serious about Christ, the enemy gets serious about you. If you're just a moderate church-going guy, the enemy's not concerned with you because you're not having an influence. But when you get serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ and he becomes first in your life and you get serious about knowing him and knowing the scriptures and beginning to grow in your faith, and going from immaturity to maturity, now you got a target on your back. This is what happens. When a man gets serious about Christ, the enemy gets serious about taking you down. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The only one he's trying to devour is the one who follows Christ. This is why we have to walk carefully.
We live in a culture where postmodernism rules and reigns. Postmodernism basically says there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute God. Therefore, there is no absolute truth. Therefore, there is no absolute reality. My truth is my truth. Your truth is your truth. There is no objective standard. It can be anything you want. The Wexner Center for the Performing Arts at Ohio State is America's first postmodern building. The architect said that he designed this building with no design in mind. When the architect was asked why, he said, "Well, If life itself is capricious, why should our buildings have any design and any meaning? So he has pillars in the building that have no purpose. He has stairways that go nowhere. He has a senseless building built, and somebody has paid for it. His argument was that if life had no purpose and design, why should the building have any design? The architect was asked, did he do the same with the foundation? There was silence. You and I can fool with the infrastructure as much as we would like, but we dare not fool with the foundation because it will call our bluff in a hurry. That postmodern building did not have a postmodern foundation because the foundation is the most important part of a building. The foundation is the most important part of a family. The foundation is the most important part of a church. It's the most important part of a nation. The foundation is the most important part of anything. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the winds blew and the storm came and his house went down. But the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the storms came and the wind blew, and that house stood firm and stood secure. We are called to build on a foundation that in this culture is mocked and scorned and ridiculed, but it is the only foundation that stands because it is God's foundation. Here's what's happening. The very foundations of our nation and the very foundations of our civilization are crumbling. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's not a lot I can do about a nation. What I can do is in my own home, in my own family, that's where it has to begin. God invented the family. God owns the family. God invented marriage. He owns marriage. He has the copyright on marriage. He has the patent on marriage. He owns it all. He created it all. And that foundation is still there. Well, in this war on the family, as a husband and father, you're not leading a group of guys. You're leading your wife and kids, and if you have grandkids, your grandkids. This is why the enemy wants to take you out. This is why he doesn't want you to be effective as a leader in your home.
Two other things I said in point man. If you're serious about following Christ, you should know that the enemy has a twofold strategy. Number one, he wants to alienate and eventually sever the relationship that you enjoy with your wife. So if you are married, the enemy's plan is to take your marriage and decimate it. Scripture says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So what the enemy wants to do with every Christian man in this room, it doesn't matter if you've been married 4 weeks or 4 months or 44 years, doesn't matter. He never stops with this strategy. He wants to take the two who have become one and make them two again. Just know that. He's always coming after your marriage, trying to get in between you and your wife, separate, alienate, and you get so frustrated that it severs. The second strategy that I mentioned in that book was that the enemy wants to alienate and sever the relationship you enjoy with your kids. He's always trying to get in between a father and his son, his daughter. When our kids are small, when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, they think their daddy's hung the moon. When they hit 12, 13, 14, 15, they want their daddies to go to the moon. You notice how hard adolescence is working with kids? Oh, yeah, it's not easy. You got to get connected. You got to get in there. You got to stay close. You can get ambushed. I got ambushed. We got a room full of guys here. Now, why are you guys here? Because you want to follow Christ and you want to know the scriptures. You want to grow in your faith. You want to be a better Christ follower. You want to be a better husband. You want to be a better father. You want to be a more mature man in Jesus Christ. You want to make a difference with your life. The enemy's got a strategy. I got to have a counter strategy. The counter strategy is make wisdom a priority. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 15, he says this, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It's a waste, but be filled with the Spirit. I started collecting books when I was 20, and I got a set of encyclopedias, and then under it, I threw up 48 volumes of the great books of Western civilization. If you go to a university and you study the classics, those great books are there. Here's what the scripture says about those books. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, watch this, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Look at 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, watch this. The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So all those great books, all that pontification, all that opinion, total analysis, those great books are not the wisdom of God. How do I get the wisdom of God? In his word. There's tremendous pressure to conform, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That comes from the scriptures. Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. This doesn't mean that you isolate yourself from these people. You don't isolate yourself. You live life. They're in darkness, you're light. What it means is, if they don't know Christ and they don't know his word, then you do not put them in a position of influence in your life. You interact, but you do not allow them to influence with their wrong concept of what wisdom is. But watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. It's not talking about financial prosperity. When you follow what God says, and when you follow God's word, God will give you wisdom. And when you follow God's wisdom, you're going to have God's blessing in your life because you're going the right way. Jesus said, peace not like the world gives. I give a different kind of peace. You can have a joy in relationships, family. It's just sweet. You don't find this anywhere else except by following Christ and his word and walking in his way. What's our counter strategy here? The counter strategy is make wisdom a priority.
Now, listen, guys, none of us do this right. Oftentimes we talk about spiritual leadership. Man, that kind of freaks me out. I'm not sure how I do that. My dad didn't do that. Okay? He probably should have. But ask yourself the question, why didn't your dad show you what it means to be a spiritual leader? You want to know why? Because his dad didn't show him. This is a generational thing. What happens is the Lord comes into our lives and redeems us, and maybe you've never had this in your family. Well, you know what? Here's the great thing about the Lord. You can put a new link in the generational chain. You start it. You start it. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. But I'll tell you this. We have got to keep our eyes on Christ. Well, Steve, this is overwhelming. How do I do this? You get as close to Christ as you can. You start getting in the scriptures, and you start learning from godly, mature men. That's how you do it. And things can begin to change. It happens. There are guys in this room. I've seen it happen in their lives. God can do this. But we got to stay the course.
That's how you walk wisely at home. That's how you walk wisely through life. The days are evil, guys. But God's at work, and he uses men just like us. Let's be careful how we walk.
Thanks for listening today. This podcast was produced by Men's Leadership Ministries. We'll see you next time.